Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Joyful, joyful.
Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9 with the
Priest,
the Pom,
and the Poof.
This is the show where we talk about spirituality and sexuality for our community.
Good evening and welcome to Spirit Lounge. You are with Joy, with Andrew, and with Bertie.
The Three Musketeers are reunited.
We are. You can't use our real names. Our real names. Priest, Pom, and the Poof.
Oh, we do have real names. A big thank you to Salt and Pepper. And what are we up to tonight, Bertie?
We have a busy old show. This is we're going to talk about movies tonight, and we've got two fabulous guests in our studio who we're going to be talking to in a minute. We've got film director Grant Scicluna. Have I pronounced that correctly? Scicluna.
Very good.
Thank God. And we also have producer Janine Barnes, and they're both from Happening Films, and they are happening people because they make very happening films. So we're going to talk about two or maybe three during the show, which have very different topics and very interesting topics. And we're also going to bask in the glory of our outside broadcast from Friday, are we not, Mr. P?
We've got a few choice highlights from
Is it just all the people clapping?
I went through and judiciously extracted all the applause, and we've got a full 5 minutes of it.
Oh, fabulous.
So you've got that to look forward to.
And I had it confirmed that Joy can't count because she was referring to the thousands, and I think we counted 50 people.
Well, it was close. I also said that we were going to come to them live from Federation Square. So, you know, okay, I make things up slightly.
Next time.
Now, if you'd like to join in the conversation tonight, we'd love to hear from you. Send us an SMS on 0427JOY949 or send us an email onair@joy.org.au.
And we're going to kick off with a little bit of Rihanna, A Million Miles Away.
Joy 94.9.
And you're on Spirit Lounge with the Priest, the Pom, and the Poof. The Poof.
Now, we are joined by a Maltese gentleman, I've just been told, because I thought he was Italian, so I've been put right, with the wonderful name of Grant Scicluna. Is that right?
That's right.
Fantastic. Welcome to the studio. Now, Grant is part of Happening Films, happeningfilms.com, if you want to look them up. And there is a wonderful movie which has just won an award, I think, over in Wales. Is that right? In Cardiff?
Yes, it won the Iris Prize.
Uh-huh. Well, congratulations on that. Now, this film is called The Wilding. I'm going to read just a little paragraph to set the scene, and then we'd love to hear more about it. Now, juvenile inmate Malcolm is in love with his cellmate Ty, but their relationship is confined within their cell. When Malcolm is offered a shot at parole, his actions inadvertently mark Ty as a target for attacks by other inmates. When the bullying against Ty escalates, Malcolm is torn between his chance for freedom and protecting the one he loves. That's powerful in itself. Now, what on earth inspired you to write such a sensitive film in the unusual and rough setting of a youth detention centre? This is amazing.
Well, I think I wanted to do kind of my version of a love story. Mm-hmm. and I wasn't ever going to do some kind of schmaltzy, sensitive love story. So I thought, well, how can I do like my... What's a film that I feel is kind of like missing that I'd like to see? And that's, you know, really put put love in a really dangerous place.
Absolutely.
And the love itself is like the ultimate target between these two young boys, and all the other inmates are just sort of targeting that love and bullying it and bullying it and bullying it, and then just have the love come out on top. So that's really, I just wanted to do my version of a love story.
Now, quick question, because I haven't seen the whole movie, I've only seen the trailer. So do they manage to keep it secret, or do the other inmates find out and therefore the bullying escalates?
Some of the other inmates do know, and it does escalate for that reason. And there's also the indication that maybe one of the prison wardens does know that there's a connection between the two boys. But what happens in the film is that the lead character, Malcolm, is very tender and loving inside the cell with his boyfriend, Ty, and then outside the cell, it's like he's playing a character. And he's much tougher, and he just doesn't want to take any crap from anybody.
More macho and butch.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So tries to keep it at bay, and then ultimately what he does is a tremendous act of sacrifice, which he does for his boyfriend, and shatters any illusion that anybody may have kept that he was not in a gay relationship with his cellmate. So he absolutely kind of outs himself and sacrifices everything.
Okay.
So how did you come up with the title?
The title is a word I've always really loved, and it's not a really common word. It's like an old-fashioned word in a way, and then at the same time it's a really modern street word. So a wilding is like an act of violence. And so you hear kids in America say, "I'm going to go out wilding tonight."
Okay.
And you can also describe a person as being a wilding, which means someone that's a little bit kind of, unhinged or, a little bit potentially dangerous. So I've just always loved that word. And so the title actually came before the story and everything.
Amazing. Now, what background research did you do and where? I mean, have you been in a detention centre? Were you naughty when you were younger?
Some of our crew have. Yes, Reggie, I am talking about you.
No, I haven't. I haven't. And, it's interesting because you set a film in a very specific place, and, of course, the first thing you try to do is try to get access to places that you can research, but they're very closed. So I tried my best, but I wasn't able to get into Parkville, and so all I had really were kind of reading people's like testimonials and stories online, which were really illuminating anyway. And there was a lot of information online about what Parkville is like, from the point of view of inmates, but also just what it looks like and what it feels like. And so I just did a lot of reading and kind of soaking all of that stuff up.
So where did you actually shoot it?
We shot it out at Sunbury.
Sunbury, yeah.
So out at Sunbury is the old, what they call the Sunbury Lunatic Asylum.
The loony bin.
Yeah, and it's not used as an asylum anymore. It was for about 5 years used as a campus of Victoria University. And the section that we used originally when it was built like 150 years ago was a women's prison for insane women. who committed dreadful crimes. And
like stating their opinion.
Yes.
We've gone. Yes.
And then the Victoria Uni took it up and used it as their music department. So
the padded cells were still there.
If, if those walls could talk, eh?
Oh, yes. It was a spooky place. And I stayed out there. Like, we'd finish shooting and I would sort of, I was sleeping out there with Reef, who plays Malcolm, the lead character. It's a weird place.
It's empty. It's a huge Victorian building, well, a number of buildings on a campus, and the only people there are the security guards. It's like a whole village out there that's just been left.
Wow.
Behind high brick walls, and the padded cells are still there. There's this very creepy room with a half door, like a stable door, but it's the bottom half of the door that's missing that they used to lock people into. And
you're very brave staying there overnight.
It's a location dying for a horror film to be made there. Like, and it's amazing because it's empty. We had the whole run of the place. And
So how did you find these actors?
We had a really very good casting agent that we worked with at Mulliner's Casting, and then I just said, you know, I really want young actors who are kind of rough around. They're not kind of, you know, kids from kids' TV that are really polished. And so she said, cool, I know exactly what you mean, and I'll bring in all of those types of kids. And I could just, like, when Reef came in, Reef Ireland, who plays Malcolm, he came in and I knew in an instant that he had the role. And he'd only just turned 18, but we was just starting to chat about the character, and he talked about the sexuality of the character and whether, you know, the character was really gay or whether he was kind of just like his boyfriend was the only person who'd ever really loved him. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh my God, I almost burst into tears that like an 18-year-old could just be so wise. and same with the others. They were all just really smart young actors, and just, like, you could just see there was no pretense about them. They were just really truthful.
Mm. So the arch nemesis is Frank Sweet, who had been in a film called 237, which opened Melbourne Film Festival a couple of years back. And I'm going to let you say Shannon's name because
Shannon
he gets mad when you get it wrong.
Grabowski.
Is he Maltese as well?
He's Polish. He's a Polish boy from Melton. And that was the first acting job he'd ever done, was on The Wilding. And he came in and he was like wiping his nose and like just like doing all the things like actors are told, don't do that in an audition. And I was like, yes, keep doing that sort of stuff. I love it.
So realistically, could this scenario and this story ever happen in a juvenile jail, do you think?
You know, it's a really interesting question, because I think I certainly felt like I'd kind of heightened what was possible. And then I've had responses from people just like sending me tweets from other filmmakers, because often filmmakers work with inmates or work with young offenders on sort of film programs. And I've had tweets from people say, I just love the film. It felt so real to me. I'm working with young offenders now. And so it kind of validated it for me that I think it's absolutely possible. And, you know, when you read about adult prisons, it's very common for prisoners to sort of form sexual and protective relationships with each other. Yeah. And whether or not the men involved are gay or continue to lead gay lives, some of them do, many don't. I'd certainly read about that. And so I thought, well, if that can happen in adult prisons, I'm sure it could happen in juvenile situations. Yeah. And you know, and people have said it does. Mm.
We're talking to Grant and Janine on the Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9 about their film The Wilding.
Real people, real topics. Joy 94.9.
And you're on the Spirit Lounge with the Priest, the Pom and the Poof. And we were just listening to, I haven't got my glasses on. Oh, there we go. I can see now. Stella Cart, Everything is Different Now. Mr. Poof's laughing at me. Look, it's a severe handicap having to wear glasses. Don't mock the afflicted, please. Now, we are talking to Grant and to Grant and Janine about their wonderful films. They're from Happening Films. And we're talking about a very current one called The Wilding. Now, The Wildings won lots of international awards, so congratulations for that.
Thank you.
You won one in Welsh Wales, is that right?
We sure did.
We did. We won an award called the Iris Prize, which is kind of affectionately known as the Big Gay Oscar for short film. So it is the biggest prize for queer film in the world. And we're stunned. We found out just last week that we won. And so what it means is that I will get, and hopefully Janine will expect the two of us will get to go over to the UK and shoot a film. And the prize is £25,000 to create a new film and shoot it in the UK, which for a short filmmaker is incredible.
Well, very many congratulations. That's just fantastic.
Thank you.
So what do you think it is about the film that actually is capturing people's imaginations so that they give you a gay Oscar? And
do you know what? I think it's a love story, and I think it's also just like, you know, what we first started talking about. It's just people get caught up in this really tense situation and come out the other end, and the love is the only thing that has survived this story. And so I think it's the romance of it that people get swept up in.
Mm. Despite the setting.
Despite the setting, yeah. It just absolutely surpasses the setting.
Yeah.
And despite the violence.
Yep.
Mm. Yeah, potentially. Yep. Yeah. So what did you learn from making this short film then? What have you personally taken away from the film, Janine?
Well, we were funded by Screen Australia to make the film. We came through a program called Springboard, and it was just such a wonderful environment for us to work in. We were selected amongst six groups of filmmakers, and we're all in there supporting each other, working on each other's films. And we got quite a lot of encouragement and some criticism too. And I think the thing that works the most about this film and about the script at that stage is that we just didn't compromise on the story that we wanted to tell. And dug in on a number of points, including things like shooting on film and a lot of things we were discouraged to do. And if anything, now I'm going to take that philosophy and I'm probably going to be very difficult to deal with. But the thing I've learned is that if you stick to what you believe in, you make the film you want to make, look at the end result. Mm. You know, we're screening everywhere. We've been embraced. We're winning awards. And it's going to lead to more projects for us. So.
And a stroppy producer.
That's right. You've given me an attitude, people.
So how can people see this film?
Yeah, that's a bit tricky, actually. So we're still very much doing the festival circuit. So I would say the thing to do is to like our Facebook page, because we keep that regularly updated with where we're screening and when. We're mostly screening internationally at the moment because we've done the rounds of Australian film festivals, but they do pop up from time to time. And one of the prizes we did win was at St Kilda Film Festival, which was a broadcast deal with SBS. We won the television award. Mm. So it will be screening on SBS sometime in the next 12 months. And
brilliant.
I don't know when yet, but again, if you're looking at that Facebook page, it'll have all that information, as will the website will too. So
it's Facebook/ The Wilding.
Okay, and it's thewilding.com.au, is that right?
Correct.
If people want to have a look at the trailer.
Yes.
Fantastic. Well,
and there's featurettes and interviews and all kinds of everything but the film.
Behind the scenes.
Behind the scenes. Lots of stories, lots of photos.
Well, Grant and Janine are going to stay with us because we're going to talk about another project just in a minute. You're on the Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
And you're on Spirit Lounge with the Priest, the Pom and the Poof. And that's the Poof's favourite band at the moment, Our City, with Galaxies. And he can't say a thing because he doesn't have a microphone. No. So, Bertie, we can talk about him. And
we can say what we want about you and you cannot respond on air.
I can yell loudly.
He's got a megaphone over there in the corner.
Now, just be quiet. Thank you. The Great Stupa of Universal Compassion has been built at the Atisha Buddhist Centre in Bendigo, Australia. The stupa will be the same size and design as the Great Stupa of Ganj in Tibet. This will make it the largest stupa in the Western world. And Janine, you are making a documentary about the building of the Great Stupa of Universal Compassion.
I am.
Is this an ongoing thing, or is it completed, or where's the stupa up to?
Well, I suspect this is going to be a lifetime commitment, making this documentary. I should start with the proviso that I am making the documentary and I'm not involved with the stupa itself. So I'm going to do a disclaimer in case I get anything wrong before I start this. But they have been making it for a very long time, and I do believe it's still got a little ways to go. So, very much a work in progress.
Now, this has got a wonderful title. It's called Tears from Tibet, and Tears is T-I-E-R-S.
Yes, I thought that was rather clever.
Love the title. Very clever. Now, of course, for those of us who are less familiar with Buddhism, like me, until I started doing the research, didn't know what a stupa was. Now, is it a temple? Is it a monastery for monks? A monument? A museum? What is this building going to be, and what's it modelled on?
Oh, it's a lot of things. It's a building that houses relics, so it houses holy relics. So it's a lot of those things. It is a temple. It is a museum. not so much a monastery per se, but there is a monastery out there. There's, it's really wonderful. There's a bunch of abandoned train carriages that now house monks, and they live on those old red rattlers. It's pretty fantastic. But they won't be in the building itself. So
why is it such an iconic building?
It's architecturally, it's just massive on scale. You'd have to see it to believe it. It's like several football fields in size. And there's some great, if you look on their website, which is www.stupa.org.au, just to see some of the aerial shots and see the scale of it, and to think someone's going to create something monumental, so I think it's just amazing.
Is this modelled on a stupa somewhere else in the world?
It is. It's it's in Tibet, but I do believe it's very limited access to it because it's the Chinese part of, all of Tibet's the Chinese part of Tibet, but very limited access to it.
So what does this stand for in Buddhist culture?
It'll be a place for pilgrimage, a place for worship, and a place for reflection. And it's particularly important, I think, with Buddhism growing as it has in the West.
So do we know how many Buddhists there are in Australia?
It's looking at the last census results, it's pretty small, like it's, 3% or something of the...
They obviously see it as being a growth area.
It's a growth area, yes. So a lot of the visitors they're expecting are actually would be Asian people from Vietnam and Thailand, and they have very strong connections. The stupa and the organiser of the stupa have very strong connections back into particularly Southeast Asia.
Yeah. So it's going up in Bendigo.
It is.
So who commissioned it and who's funding it? I've heard a rumour it's about a $20 million price
tag. Yeah, yeah. It's a wonderful man named Ian Green is really the driving force behind it. He actually donated the land back in the 80s to get it started, and he stayed on as director of the project, and he gave up his day job, and I'm sure it's very spiritually rewarded in doing this project, and probably not in any other way rewarded, I suspect. And he really travels the world and just promotes the building site itself and Buddhism, and he's done it really through donation. So
and tries to he's the fundraiser.
Yeah,
you were you there when the Dalai Lama?
Yeah, and what? So was Grant.
Yeah, what was he doing there?
He came to bless the site, so it's been officially endorsed by His Holiness, and it was really just the most marvellous day.
Was he shaking a piggy bank to get some more funds to help?
No, he doesn't do that.
They had a whip round.
So can anyone go up there and see it?
Or? Yeah, it's open to the public and it's really worth looking at. There's a little office on View Street in Bendigo. And Bendigo's lovely, by the way. It's worth the trip out there. And the site itself's, I don't know, maybe 15 k's out of Bendigo.
Okay.
Heading out.
If our listeners want to find out more about it, it's stupa.org.au if you want to go. And there's some good movies on there and aerial views and what have you. Thank you very much, Janine and Grant. Stay with us if you'd like to. You're on the Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
You're on the Spirit Lounge with the Priest, the Pom and the Puff. Is it time for news now?
I think it is time for news. Do we have some news?
Shall I read this headline?
I think you should.
Wait for it. Female drivers would turn people gay, Saudi Arabian religious leaders warn.
And how would they do that, I ask?
This is beautiful. We love these slightly tongue-in-cheek press releases that we find when we're surfing the net. Repealing a ban on women drivers in Saudi Arabia would result in people turning gay, religious leaders in the country have warned. According to a scientific report released by Muslim scholars, lifting the ban on female drivers would result in no more virgins, and Saudis would increasingly turn to homosexuality and pornography.
They're not riding bicycles without seats, for goodness sake. How on earth? Ridiculous are these people?
Women on the road would provoke a surge in prostitution, pornography, homosexuality and divorce, the report's authors wrote. Virginity, get this, virginity would be a thing of the past within 10 years. And this professor, now I don't know how you pronounce his name, Suphi, Subi. Professor Subi was sent out to write a report. So what he did was he went and he sat in a coffee shop and he was told to observe. Now, he was sitting in an Arab state where women are currently allowed to drive. And so he, quote, one woman made a gesture that made it made it clear to me that she was available. That's what happens when women are allowed to drive.
So there's a research sample of one.
Huge sample. Huge.
That is absolutely incredible.
So yes, be careful. Women, please don't drive in Saudi Arabia because you'll make the rest of the population gay. Don't you love it? Don't you love it?
How they come up with this stuff is just...
I'm sure this... this must be... Do people post news stories like this just for a bit of a joke, do you think?
Well, no, but what about that one about V-necks?
I mean, they were serious about that. In Malaysia.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're a man, you wear a V-neck, it must mean you're gay.
Yeah. And then they had V-neck day, remember?
They did. To counteract that, they all took the piss and all these guys went marching through probably Kuala Lumpur, I don't know where, wearing V-necks, saying, you know, how ridiculous this is. This was the education minister who was trying to warn parents about, you know, their children, to look for the signs for their kids being gay.
These people are quite... They're so obsessed, aren't they, about it? Mm. They're so frightened.
They are.
I mean, goodness me, women driving are going to make men turn homosexual into prostitution.
Now, have we got time for one more story?
I think we certainly have.
Should we do it? Now, Mr. P, I thought this young Catholic priest was rather gorgeous, isn't he?
Well, yes.
The headline of this is Catholic gay Italian priest comes out on Facebook.
Goodness me, a Catholic priest is now making the headlines in Italy after having decided to come out on Facebook on International Coming Out Day.
Yeah, and that was on the 11th of October.
He's a happily gay priest.
Yeah, his name is Don Mario Bonfanti. He's 41 years old and he's a priest from, how do you pronounce
Pagnano,
that?
Pagnano, I don't know.
Pagnano, near Lecco, in the Italian region of Lombardy. And his openness about his sexuality is something of a revolution.
Yes. The Italian Catholic Church, of course, is not known for their tolerance of LGBT people, so most priests would not be out as gay.
I know. And he said, truth, Bonfanti is saying, truth makes us free, so Jesus said. So he's quoting what Jesus says.
Yes, but he also goes on to say, but strangely, the Church denies this sentence. Catholic LGBT people must come out. They have to accept the truth.
Absolutely. And he's got 1,200 followers now on Facebook. And it's called I Support Don Mario is the name of the group.
But did you see where last March he was banned from a parish in Lombardy for having supported same-sex unions?
And that was before he came out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but anyway, but he's very cute, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
He's very cute. And well done him. More Catholic priests should come out. Well, in fact, it would be the whole church then, wouldn't it? No. Biggest closet in the world, isn't it?
It's very tastefully decorated in there, I think.
I actually did some study with some Jesuits, and one of them would say openly he was gay,
yeah,
but that he would not ever act on it.
Mm.
But he identified as gay.
He identified as gay, but he was passive, a non-practicing homosexual, to quote Cliff Richard.
Exactly.
Is that actually healthy for you? Like, I imagine that would be...
Well, that's healthier than being in denial about it. At least he was open in saying, look, I'm gay, but I choose not to act on it. It's like someone who's heterosexual, who's a priest, who remains celibate. It's no different. But at least he's acknowledging his sexuality, and I think that's really good. And I think it is healthier.
Mm. Sure is. Now, we've got one of my favourite artists coming up, Mrs. Priestie.
No, we haven't.
Haven't we? Heather Williams.
We have Heather Williams. We've already had Pink.
Yeah, no, Heather Williams is one of my favourites as well. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
You see, you don't know everything about me.
You see, I chose this track and I didn't know that it was one of your favourites.
Ah, you see, you thought it was obscurity.
You're right.
We are always well planned.
Heather Williams with a beautiful thing.
Joy 94.9.
And you're on Spirit Lounge with the Priest, the Pomp and the Poof. And that's really the show for another week, isn't
it? Another hour has flown, but we will be back
so quickly
next Tuesday from 8 till 9 on the Spirit Lounge. Thank you for joining us tonight. So we're going to go out with a track. What are we going out with, Priestie?
We are going out with Stephen Curtis Chapman and Do Everything.
You see, you nearly put your paperwork away, hadn't you?
You are mean.
I nearly tripped you up.
But you didn't. You tried.
Thanks for listening, folks. We'll catch you next week. It's good night from
the priest
and the pom
and the puff.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.